Once again, good morning. Okay. So happy for this morning and to see so many of you guys, college kids, welcome back, or university, whatever. Was happy to see Fiona on the piano. Thank you for the good job. And not just that, but Ryan and Jared are back, so happy to see, and so many of you guys. And it's one of those Sundays when I look around and I realize I don't know every name, which I guess it's a good thing. So I'll try to catch you at the end and try to get your name and remember them. So until then, let's focus on the Word of God and pray for this. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you this morning that you speak to us every day. You spoke to the prophets in the past. He spoke through Jesus Christ, and he speaks to the scriptures today. We pray that our hearts be open today to receive your message, to be encouraged, to be corrected if need be, and to be changed by you, Lord. So when we leave from this place, we will have that joy that comes from above to be our strength. In your name we pray. Amen. As you see on the screen, today we will speak a lot about hope, because it is a time to hope. And I had a seer moment. Was any of the candles hope? I'm trying to realize, was it? Okay, so we did have a candle of hope. And what does hope mean to you? You can shout or, speak loud. What does hope mean to you? Say what? Something is going to get better. Okay. That's hope. We hope. We use the word hope a lot. I hope it doesn't rain. Or I hope it doesn't snow. Or, vice versa. I hope it snows, depending on which camp you are in. We all use the word hope a lot. But in the usual daily use, it doesn't necessarily mean what the Bible says it should mean. Usually it means just a more uncertainty than certainty. It's just wishful hope. You hope something might happen, but you're not certain, right? I hope the bus is not late. I hope the Jays win. That actually happens more than often. I hope, the Stanley Cup comes where it should be. It's all about that uncertainty that we have in our lives. And, that is a very shaky hope, because it's easily lost, right? Why do we lose hope sometimes? If you're like me, you probably also have lost hope sometimes. Not always, not every day, but sometimes, I remember, this is a history lesson if you want, but in the last couple of decades of the 19th century, 1800s, 1870, 1890, the world was filled with hope. Science was, growing so much. Industry, development, everything was on the rise. And people said, humanity is on the right path. In a few decades, we'll eradicate all wars and famines, and the world will be perfect. And then the 1900s came. War in 1901, war in 1905, war in 1912, and then the Great War in 1914-18, with millions upon millions upon millions died. And in 1919, it was a great influenza, and other millions died. And people kind of lost hope. That hope they had before, they lost it because of the hurt and the pain around them. We lose hope sometimes because we fail. We try things and then we say, well, I tried, I failed, I won't try it again, because you lose hope. And when you lose hope, you just stop trying. You lose hope because you see limitations, say, I can never do that. I can never change. Back 20-some years ago, in my mind, I said, communism will never fall. I was back then, if you saw my Facebook post, I was in Romania in uniform defending communism with my colleagues in the military, and we never hoped that would change. But that was, I was as shocked as everyone else, when actually things did change. Because we just see the limitations, and we don't really see beyond them. You know, sometimes it is just pain. Pain can rob you from your hope. Pain can just make you lose sight of what might be in the future. Or all you see is just pain and more pain. And there is anxiety and fears. Remember the prophet Elijah? He was, after doing some great work for the Lord and seeing God work in miraculous ways through his ministry, he got into a cave and he started complaining, saying, "I'm the only one here that still worships God. I am the lost one. No one else worships God. I'm so lonely." You know, that's one classical example of pity party in the scriptures. You know, and God said, "No, you ain't. You're not the only one. You're not the lost one. There's so many others who still worship and fear God." But sometimes anxiety and fear make us lose sight of God and lose hope. Worries. Who here has ever worried about anything or something? Okay. I guess the others are either sleeping or... Anyway. I was just kidding. I mean, come on. Am I strange or am I just, you know, crazy because I worry sometimes? Or I'm just a normal human being? But the problem is that sometimes the worries become so big and we see no hope. We see no solution, that we lose hope. And those worries become stress, and the stress simply just ruins our body. And actually, stress can ruin your brain, chemically destroy your brain when you stay under stress and worry constantly, and you find no hope, no outlet. Actually, stress is chemically destroying your brain. Sin, another thing that destroys our hope. You know why? Because we know when we sin. We know when we break the law of God. We go against God's commandments. We go against God's word. We know. We know deep in our heart we've done something stupid and something wrong. We're afraid of God. And we hide from him. But as we hide from God, we again lose hope. Because we run away from the very one that can actually give us a solution. You know? And it's again, if you want, the inability to change ourselves or to change the world around us. We just try and we see it's too much, it's too heavy, I'm too small, I have no way, there's no way I can do anything. And we just get overwhelmed and we lose hope. And it's nothing new. In scriptures, there is this, I wish I would just put the first part on the screen, not the whole verse. That's Psalms 24, verse 5, that starts with this phrase, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" All the verses said, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" That's a question that the psalmist had. It's a very good question for all of us today. Why are we downcast? You know, if you want, this is a admission. No, it's recognizing the reality of an inner struggle within us. We all struggle to keep our hope alive. You know, if you want, an author wrote a book that said, the soul is in conflict with itself. And the psalmist says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" And honestly, for that question, we as humans have no solution. You know, we as humans can do nothing, but God can. That's why the psalmist says there, you know, actually I have to read from the screen, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." Why are you downcast? The solution? Hope in God. That's why I say this is a time to hope. A time to remember, to remind ourselves, why should we hope? Why is the reason for us to hope? You know, and it all starts with Bethlehem. That's why Christmas, we focus on peace and love and hope and joy and whatever I'm missing something, always mix them up. But it all starts at Bethlehem. At least in what's... Something fell upstairs. At least starts in what we can see with our own eyes, because the plan of restoring hope to us began all the way back in Genesis 3, right after we sinned. But this is when we actually could... humans could actually see hope being born in Bethlehem. And you know the story, I guess. We'll try to read these verses. Okay, they've been read a lot these days. I'll try to be short. as we read them through the scripture. So open up in Luke chapter 1, 26. It says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David.'" And I won't insist on the rest of the story. You probably heard it so much. You'll hear it tomorrow night. If you come at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, you'll hear it again. But let's move to Isaiah chapter 9 and just read what the prophet said long time before that. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over this kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." So you see those titles here in Isaiah 9, Mighty God, Counselor, and especially Prince of Peace. All those names for the Jews who expected Messiah were sources of hope. They knew the Messiah will bring them all these things: peace with God, freedom. They didn't know, they thought freedom from the Romans, but actually it was freedom from the sin, and hope in all of those. You know, think about the disciples, which were Jews, that followed Jesus as their rabbi. As they walked behind him, and as they listened to him, and as they watched him doing miracles, and they did it themselves. When he sent them, they performed great works of God in his name. They saw this and thought, God is with us. Emmanuel. Jesus is here. He is our hope. Things are looking good. And that's why the cross was so confusing for disciples, because they thought, what? Really? I mean, I thought... And that's why the cross was not just confusing, but painful and scary, because they lost hope. They couldn't believe the Lord and Savior was on the cross, dying. Just dying. They didn't know he was dying for them. They just thought, he's dead, you know. Their hope was so shattered and vanished, because they missed and missed and missed again the greatest teaching of Jesus through his time on the earth. And that is, there is no hope without the cross. There is no hope without the cross. You see, Bethlehem is great, but with no cross means nothing. Bethlehem and the cross together, that's the hope that we all have today. Hope was born in Bethlehem, but the cross is where our hope was fulfilled, came to its fullest. Once we understand why we need Jesus, our hopelessness... Why do we need Jesus, by the way? Why do we need Christmas and the cross? Why do we need Jesus? Because if you don't answer this question, if you don't know the answer to this question, then nothing makes sense. You know? It's not worth it, you know? Why should I go through all this if, you know, I don't even know what the cross means to me? Okay, the moment when you see yourself, you know, like old preacher once said, as a sinner in the hands of an angry God. A famous sermon. I think Jonathan Edwards is the pastor who preached this. I could be wrong. You can Google and correct me. He once preached this sermon in a very monotonous tone. He read his manuscript with his glasses on in a very, monotonous. Is that the right word in English? Okay. He just said what he meant with no mechanism of high speech or whatever. He just read what God gave him. But as he read the words of this sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, people say that those in the church began to lift up their feet from the ground because they felt the burn from the fires of hell. That's how real God made for them how much an angry God hates sin. And we have no solution. We have no way to fix that by ourselves. And that's why Christmas, Bethlehem, is where hope is born, but the cross is where hope is fulfilled, because that's where we find peace with God. We are hopeless before God the Almighty. We're sinful and with no power to change that, and we are enemies of the Holy One. If we know that, that's when we can see the amazing hope of what Christmas brings. Because that's when God himself came down to us, into our world, to do what none of us could have ever done. God chose to come here at Christmas time in form of a baby to give us hope and to show us that he loves us so much he's willing to leave behind his heavens and come and suffer and be with us. It says in, is it on the screen? Yeah, it's on the screen. Philippians, 2nd chapter, verse 5 and on. It says here, have this mind amongst yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And the passage continues with a hymn of praise towards Christ. You can read the home if you want, verses 9 and 10 of that chapter. Amazing, amazing words of God. But it says, at that time, God himself came in our midst to be with us, to do what none of us could have ever done. And that's why Christmas is hope. That's why at Bethlehem, hope was rekindled for us. If you want, I love what Simeon, it's actually on the screen. Simeon, a man who's not very much spoken about, you find his name written in the second chapter of Luke. You know, in the whole Christmas story, he's usually not really focused on, but he's there. And he says some amazing things about the Lord. Okay, verse 25 and on. Of Luke 2nd chapter. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, which meant waiting for the Messiah to be shown to the people. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's anointed, the Messiah, the one who had come to free Israel. And he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. For my eyes have seen your salvation, Simeon said when he beheld the baby. He was seeing just a child, but by faith, through the Spirit of God, he knew that child was God's way to give us salvation from our sins and from punishment for our sins and to restore to us a future with God, and therefore hope. As Simon held the baby, he knew that hope was rekindled for Israel and for the whole world. And if you want, there's a pun there, a new hope was born for Israel and for us all. That hope is what we rejoice in today And not just today, you know, every day. And that's why we need to preach to ourselves. We need to preach to our own hearts and say this: why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Has ever your heart been in turmoil within you? I could say, by God's grace, I've been through that. I've learned what fear, anxiety, uncertainty, pain, all those things, I've been through them. And I'm not special. We all go through those things. And I felt what the turmoil of the soul feels like. But at the same time, as I bowed down my head and read the Word of God, the turmoil was just quieted. Whoa. You know, when Jesus was once in a boat with his disciples and this heavy storm came upon them, he was asleep in the front end of the boat, and the disciples said, Lord, or yo, what are you doing? Where are you sleeping? I mean, we're dying here and you're sleeping. He stood up and said, oh ye a little faith. Then he turned around and he spoke to the storm. The waves calmed down. That's how I feel in my life. Whenever that turmoil comes back against me and tries to rob me of my hope and joy, I don't have a magic fix. I just go to the Word of God and read the Word of God and choose to believe the Word of God. That's what faith is like. That's why we read in 1 Peter 1 these words, 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and on. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Born again to a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for me and for you. No need for your soul to be downcast. Hope in God. You will be attacked. I can promise you. You know, in the world, you shall have what? Tribulations. It's a promise. You know? But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. In the world, you will have turmoil and anxiety and fear. But be of good cheer. Let your heart be cheerful, because I have, not me, but Jesus, I have overcome the world. That is why we hope today. It's not, again, not, it's not a human, that uncertain kind of hope. You know, I hope things get better. I don't know. I don't think so, but, you know, I hope so, kind of a thing. It's not. It's much more, it's almost like faith. Actually, hope and faith in the scriptures are almost the same thing. Biblical hope, if you want, resembles faith like this. A confident expectation and desire to see God at work in our future. I'll say it again. A confident expectation and desire to see God at work in our future. Confident expectation. That is hope. You have confidence and you expect things to change. You know, just like Hebrews. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What's the word there? What kind of assurance? What do we have? You know, I kind of say it. We have assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. That is faith. And that is biblical hope, if you want. That's why Christmas is a time to hope. I'll be short today. The joy of being at peace with God brings hope. We once were enemies, and now we are sons and daughters. And if you're not a son of God, if you're not a daughter of the Almighty, faith is the only way to get there. And it's so simple. That's why some people actually find it hard. You have to do nothing. You have to perform no deeds to become a son of God or child of God. All you have to do is believe in his name and say, Lord, I choose to believe in you. And I give you my sins. I give you my past. I receive from you a new future. That's how you receive God. You receive the gift, actually, of God. and the peace that brings hope. And then the joy of restoration. I told you, I dwell so much on Joel 2:25. I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. A small passage in a small book of the prophets, of the small prophets, you know, small passages, small books, small prophets, but speaks so much truth of hope to me. That what I've lost in the past, I only became a Christian at 23. You know, 23 years I was an atheist. I'm trying to say the word atheist. I was a young communist growing up in a communist country, know nothing about God, you know, never exposed to Christianity, no way, no shape, no form. And suddenly, one day, I see faith lived out by some youth who are playing volleyball and ping pong. And nothing fancy. It was not a service of prayer or something. It was just, they're playing games on a field. And I saw them, and I saw something different. And hope was born in me, too, because of that. You know, we set our eyes on future. Sometimes our present is bleak. You know, we don't have this, we don't have that. There's arguments or, you know, things we cannot control. That don't, you know, it's not about us. It's about something in our lives that we can simply control. And because of this present situation, we lose hope. But my encouragement today is set your eyes on your future with the Lord. Set your eyes on Christ. An old song in the early 90s, I had this line, when the devil reminds you of your past, you just remind him of his future. It was a funny song back then, but you know, it was just held so much truth to it. Future is so full of joy, and again I say, hope. Our hope is in him, the returning king. A second pun here. Our hope is in him. So, this Christmas, oops, I went ahead of myself. Let us celebrate our hope in Christ this Christmas. Take your eyes off of your pain and hurts and uncertainties. I'm not saying they'll go away. I do not say that they will go away. All I'm saying is take your eyes off of them and put them on Christ. Set your eyes on the loving, gracious God who knows what you go through, who knows your joys and victories and pains and failures and still loves you. A gracious God who has born us again to a living hope. Let's listen to this. Let's read. Actually, it's been on screen for a while. This last verse that actually Frank read also this morning. And listen to it in the light of this time of hope, because of Jesus Christ coming to Bethlehem and his death on the cross and his resurrection, we have a God of hope. Let's read these verses. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is my prayer for me and for all of us this season, because it is a time to hope. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning again and again for sending your Son to us, because we had no way to reach you, to restore ourselves before you in fellowship with you through our own efforts. Nothing we could do was ever enough. So we thank you this morning that you chose to send your Son to come in the form of a baby, but then he grew up, became a rabbi, became a teacher, and then he died on the cross for me and for us so that we can be restored to you. He bore my sins on the cross so that I can receive your forgiveness. And Lord, that is such an amazing joy, and today, such an amazing hope that all the past that was marred by sin is washed away, and I am a new creation before you, and therefore I have a renewed hope in you. I know that life may not be always easy, and pain and worries and failures may still happen in my life, but Lord, I choose today by faith to set my eyes on the future, on my future that I have with you. and to truly live in that living hope that I was born to. And let you, Lord, be the foundation and the rock of my life. I choose this week, this day, Lord, to trust you and let your peace cover my heart and let your hope truly be the light of my day, today and all the days of my life. I thank for all this in the precious name of your Son. Amen.